You're listening to the SansPants Network.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Baseless Speculation, or the pop culture news and the research so you don't have to. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel.
Now boys, what do we think is going to happen in Hellboy the Crooked Man?
It'll be an adaptation of the Crooked Man Limited series.
I think it'll say it'll be an adaptation of the Crooked Man Limited series and then take liberties.
We gotta ask the question, what happened to Hellboy movies? So we had the Guillermo del Toro's Hellboy.
I think the first one, great. Second one, I liked it, but maybe didn't make much money.
I'm guessing. I infinitely prefer the second one, which is not based on like a classic Hellboy story, but it's great.
I think the general consensus amongst Hellboy fans or I guess movie fans, I believe that the first one, well, the first one didn't make a profit. So it is crazy they made a second
that
one.
That is crazy.
Labor of love.
But I think the second one is the one that people like more.
Yeah, that's what I'm fairly sure.
I've heard
that the first one was like a little bit underwhelming.
The second one made slightly more money and almost, just made slightly more than breaking even by a couple of $1 million.
Hey, that's not nothing.
That's not nothing.
So it probably made about a $2 to $3 million profit, where the first one had about a $5 million loss.
Okay, so net negatives.
And then...
So we have a massive break between Golden Army...
Wasn't there a third one that was going to be with Ron Perlman?
Yeah, there was a third one in production, pre-production. Yeah, and then
don't know what happened.
It got whiffed away.
That's 2008. Yeah. And 2019...
That's a long time.
Yeah. So Hellboy has never been hotter.
11 years later, let's reboot it.
Yeah. Let's get that guy from Stranger Things.
Yeah, let's put David Armour... David Armour?
David Harbour.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, fuck.
And put David Harbour in there.
Mila Djokovic, directed by Neil Marshall, who...
Yeah. Oh, didn't he do Dog Soldiers, maybe?
Yes, and The Descent.
Whoa. And they were adapting a very late story in the Hellboy run.
I believe it was
Sword and the Fury or something.
With a guy who got replaced by, in the second or third season... of Game of Thrones by an actor that was in Treme, and he was going to be a American-Korean...
Oh, yes, yeah, because he was going to play Damo, I think his name is.
And then everyone was like, the hell? And everyone like, uh-huh. And then the actor was like, yeah, nah.
Why am I doing this? And they stood down.
Ed Skeen?
Ed Gein? Serial killer?
No, I was not thinking of him.
Okay.
The guy who was the villain in a Deadpool film, he played maybe T-Ray?
Wait, are you trying to figure out the actor?
Yeah.
What is happening?
So Ed
right
Skeen
now?
Was originally...
Oh, Ed Skeen! Come on, you gotta give
me
that.
You're telling me there's an actor named Ed Skeen?
Yeah.
Did we come up with him? That's like one step away from being John Movies.
He's in the Transporter Refueled, Deadpool.
Ajax,
Deadpool. He's in Alita.
And yeah,
Midway.
He was
Ben Damo.
So he ended up playing Damo?
No, he stepped down.
And then Daniel Day Kim played Damo.
Jumped in to play Damo. Who you might know from the reboot of Hawaii Five-0.
I don't.
He's Johnny Gat in the Saints Row series.
Oh, okay.
He's a guy whose face...
Johnny Gunn? Isn't Gat a gun?
Yeah, he's Johnny Gunn. He's Johnny Gunn. Yeah, he's Johnny Guns. There's a lot of guys out there that Baseless Speculation came up with. Yeah.
Is the entertainment industry just full of, like, us?
I'm guessing.
People with
Johnny
like,
Gat is a character,
just
though.
Yeah, brain.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, he's a character in Saints Row.
Yeah,
he's not a real
man.
I know. But, like, you're making Saints Row. They're like, we need a
Saints
guy.
Row's
I have
a video
no
game.
Johnny Gunn. They're Saints, like, close enough.
Saints Row has, like, dildo guns and whatever. None of that counts.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
And Saints Row is like, it's like if you're like, oh my God, Grand Theft Auto called the toilet store Anals R Us or whatever. Yeah, and we're like, what? It's like, yeah, it's South Park, basically.
Yeah, it's yeah, Saints Row is South Park, Grand Theft Auto 5.
Can't wait to go get my toilet from Ailes.
Yeah, that's a crazy
okay, maybe if it was called Ailes R Us.
Is this a sex store?
No, 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 we deal not, with...
That's weird.
We deal
that's so
with,
much stranger.
Bathroom products.
Yeah, anal-related products,
toilets, bidets.
When you take a shit, you're kind of having anal with the toilet. I need to leave this establishment pronto.
I think I've done that a lot. Every single time I talk about Grand Theft Auto, I'm like, you know, it's always just so fucking stupid, and then I cannot think of a single example.
Yeah.
Ammunition, that's the name of a...
gun store?
Yeah. But
yeah, that's not that terrible.
It's kind of like if there was like a donut store called like Holes, maybe?
Fat Juicy Holes.
I think you missed the mark again, man.
No, that's Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto would have a shop called
Fat Juicy. A donut store called Fat Juicy Holes?
Yeah.
I don't think that's true. What do you look up, Fat Juicy Holes?
In GTA.
I thought also he was just looking up donut stores.
Donut store, fat, juicy holes. Guys, the name's free.
I think more likely Grand Theft Auto would have a place called Donuts, and then it would be the logo would look
be
like
an anus.
Ass.
Yeah.
Or like donuts, and it's like, you know, a scrotum.
Exactly, a pair of hanging balls.
There's a booze store in it called Liquor Hole.
There you go.
Yeah. So Fat Juicy Holes.
Well, that's a pun.
Like liquor?
No, I get
liquor.
It.
Liquor Hole? I don't know.
They're all puns. There's nice buns as well.
See? Yeah. Like nice buns. Fat Juicy Holes.
That's fat clothing. That's fat clothing.
You know you often call the donut a Fat Juicy Hole?
Oh, man. Fat Juicy Holes with a strawberry glaze.
I love my Fat Juicy Holes custard filled.
It is the only hole you eat, really, a donut, hey?
I
don't think you eat a hole.
But it is a hole, a donut.
No, a donut's not a hole. A donut has a hole in it, idiot.
But
even donut holes.
You can buy the holes.
You can buy the hole.
But donut
holes. And if a donut doesn't have a hole in it. Oh, no, some donuts don't have holes.
Okay, first of all, not every...
jam-filled ones.
Yeah, with the cream.
Actually,
if you want to get technical, those do have holes where they put the fucking stuff in it.
Yeah,
the holes on the side.
Yeah, they fill it up, though.
Yeah.
With the full of stuff.
But...
Full hole. What is a hole that's filled up and that's not a hole?
Yeah.
Donut holes also aren't holes.
But they're where the hole was.
No, they're a bit removed from a donut.
They're what makes the hole.
Yes. But if I...
They're around the hole. They are the sphincter in which we consume.
No, that's the donut. The donut hole is...
Yeah. No, the donut's the sphincter.
Yeah.
A donut hole is like if I gave you a pile of dirt and said, there's your hole. And you'd be like, no, this is the dirt you remove from the hole.
There's the hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what would you call a donut hole then?
Mm.
Donut? I think it's just a... It's a big...
A mini donut?
It's big marketing has come for donuts. Because
I like to say, you know, eating the hole's nice.
Yeah, I think eating the hole's fabulous. Yeah. I think it's really good.
Well, that's probably how they advertised...
eat the
big juicy holes donuts?
Yeah.
Eating the hole's nice.
Eat the hole. It's nice.
Eat the whole hole. Okay.
Come chop at big juicy donuts.
Come chop at big juicy donuts. How did we get... Who can say? So... That was the third attempt at a Hellboy movie.
Yes.
Yeah,
stinker alert.
Was critically panned. I didn't check the critical reception of the other two, but I think they were fine.
The ad had a house with chicken legs.
Yeah, the Baba Yaga's house was in it.
Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, I don't,
I'm a huge Hellboy guy and I've never seen it.
Because it looks got stinky. A 31 on Metacritic and a 17% of Rotten Tomatoes, and it made negative $45 million.
Yeah. There was also some...
2019. Can they blame COVID for this?
We knew COVID was coming.
So you see.
I also heard that there was something with that movie where like somebody really wanted a big tree and somebody didn't. And
yeah.
It caused massive delays.
So then they had a medium-sized tree to keep everyone happy.
And David Arbor wrote some of the script. Oh. Because,
yeah. No, not really.
Yeah.
That part, maybe, not the medium tree as a compromise.
I don't know, because that sounds like something.
I have in my head that they wanted a big tree and they didn't get it and they left as a director or some integral role.
So the first movie, the 2004 one,
81%
of Rotten Tomatoes and 72% on Metacritic. So they were acclaimed-ish before the last
So everyone liked the first two.
I think. Hang on.
Yeah. Yeah, Golden Army, I think, is great. At least in retrospect, has been very well received. They didn't like the David Arbour one.
Yeah, 86 on Rotten Tomatoes and 78. So, yeah, even more received.
Yeah, well exactly. Received. And that was a great movie. I really like it. And then they brought out the David Arbour one. And now they're trying for a fourth time based on the Crooked Man comic. And it doesn't look great.
It's distributed. So I guess, like, we watched the trailer, which just recently dropped, and the first thing that caught our attention is the first logo you see on the screen is Ketchup Entertainment.
No, it's Ketchup.Entertainment.
Yeah. Which we, for a brief period of time, thought was maybe a website.
I'm like,
we were excited.
Half watching, every split second, I was like, did I just say
Ketchup.com?
No, go back. No, it's Dot Entertainment. Is that a new?
Okay. So they're, distributing the movie.
Okay. And a world-renowned, very famous movie.
They're an American independent film production and distribution company.
That's nice.
The company is best known for the following films.
Okay, I'm ready.
These are their best-known movies.
Okay.
2012's Pitcher Day.
Oh, yeah.
2013's The Love Punch.
Love Punch.
And I actually know this one.
Yeah.
The Starving Games.
Oh, no.
So is The Starving Games, one question.
Yeah.
Is The Starving Games a parody on The Hunger Games or a direct-to-DVD cash-in of The Hunger Games?
It's a parody of The Hunger Games and it stars Diedrich Bader.
Okay.
It says it stars him, but he's fourth listed there. So I reckon he's in one scene.
Yeah. So it stars him kind of like how Shazam 2 maybe starred him, i.e. he was the teacher that jumped off a building.
He was there for
a mere moment. And I was like, oh my God, Diedrich Bader's in the... Oh, never mind.
Never mind, he's gone.
Never mind.
Yeah.
I liked you in the Drew Carey show.
The 2015 British romantic comedy drama A Royal Night Out, which doesn't have a poster on
IMDb.
On Wikipedia.
Okay.
Then we've got 2021's Dr. Bird's Advice for Sad Poets, and 2023's Hypnotic, which is directed by Robert Rodriguez and stars Ben Affleck. So I guess
they're coming up a bit. Still do not recall that movie.
Me neither.
It received mixed reviews from critics and had a budget of $65 million and made $16 million at the box office.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think Ketchup Entertainment is long for this world.
No. Want to hear a fun Diedrich Bader fact?
Yes, please.
So the reason that he got a role in the Drew Carey show is because when they were pitching who was going to be in the Drew Carey show Drew Carey, the execs would have mentioned Diedrich Bader, and then Drew Carey kind of laughed a bit. They were like, Drew Carey loves him. But Drew Carey was thinking about the time that he was getting slopped off in a cinema when he watched Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hillbillies?
Hillbillies, I think.
Yeah.
And so to save face, I guess Drew Carey went, yep, let's hire him.
That's awesome.
Drew Carey got slopped off in the movies. He's just like us for real.
He's just like us for real. Beverly Hillbillies is a crazy thing to get slopped off during. God bless.
Hey, Beverly Hillbillies was made for $25 million in 1993.
Yeah, what did it make, though?
$57
million. Whoa, that plus a slop off? Are you kidding me?
I mean, I don't think Drew Carey got the money for that, considering he's not.
You know, I wonder what is the most slopped off film in it,
the film where the most people got slopped off during.
I hope it is Beverly Hillbillies.
Well, when would have the stats on that?
When? Because you'd have to narrow down when is getting slopped off in the cinema at its all time high. What era? Because I reckon it's not now.
No,
people
don't go to the movies. Yeah,
people.
It's the perfect time to do it.
Yeah.
But I don't think it is now.
I think it was probably the early 2000s. Because you've got to
get. I feel like as well.
You got to get the horny.
I reckon 90s.
No, but no, what
90s
about,
is too early. Oral sex is like a.
What about the 70s, though?
No.
Horny, filthy 70s.
Yeah.
Getting slopped off is like. It wasn't just a thing everyone did like they do now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was in the turn of when. It's like. Now I have to try and vaguely remember the history of oral sex.
When did oral sex become popular? Let's find out.
Prostitutes were because they were the ones that were offering it.
Yeah.
But then when it became sort of the norm, they saw sales and suck jobs went down.
That's so sad.
I know.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of that was on the rise. But I think that was on the rise in I want to say the early 19, like, 100 sort of thing, like 19. I want to say, let's just say 1950s. I'm gonna put that out.
Okay,
there. I'm gonna lock that in.
Nice. I reckon we've been sucking dick and eating pussy since time immemorial.
100%. I'm talking in terms of because it was out of, you know, out of necessity. Yeah. Of course. You know, you need.
Sometimes you need to get.
You just need to.
You need to either slop off or slop on. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it became very much a sinful thing.
Yeah, yeah. Fair.
And so you couldn't do it. You have to be using it very much in the DL. Mm. And it was like considered like, you did what?
Oh, my good. Yeah,
and
okay.
People of ill repute would do it. Mm. So then it was like after Prohibition, maybe?
Yeah. What do we got, JD?
What do we got?
So.
I'm just surmising.
Yeah.
We'll just go through the very quick thing here. So
we're doing this because, like, the Hellboy trailer looked bad.
Yeah.
You don't want us to. You don't want that.
There's not much to say.
And
okay?
After we go through this, I'm going to talk about Brian Taylor, the director. Yeah. So we'll be back on Hellboy.
Hey, we got to take a little diversion, okay? Allow us this.
Yeah.
Moment.
You sit, you fucking ass down, and you listen about the 1748 book Fanny Hill.
Hell, all right.
Okay.
Which makes no reference at all to fellatio, suggesting that it was not something commonly offered in London brothels at the time, or wasn't something that really existed.
Yeah.
Early 1900s, like fellatio was clearly for the fellas. That's a direct quote from this Time magazine article.
Whoa.
Well, I guess.
That's awesome.
In American legal texts of the early 1900s, fellatio was clearly for fellas. It says that.
Well, I get. Well, that's. Yeah, all right. Because
anyway,
cunnilingus is for late. Yeah, yeah, okay. I guess you're like.
I suppose.
Using those terms.
Yeah.
All right.
So it wasn't until the 90s.
All right.
Then like, as in, that it became like a...
Like a social, like, sick thing to do?
Yeah. So Bill Clinton gets slopped off.
Yeah.
And people... And he says, it's not sex. And
that's right.
60% of teenagers today agree with him.
Whoa.
Oral sex isn't sex, which, yeah.
That's so very funny. To imagine, like, so Clinton gets slopped off in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
Causing such ill repute to such a high powered position. And then a lot of teens and young adults are like, I'm going to go to the cinemas and get slopped off just like the president.
Just like my hero, President Clinton.
And they go and see... Titanic.
Yeah. Titanic's probably a good slop-off movie, really. It's long, you know, and it's horny. Mm.
This article also referenced the 2013 absolute fucking nightmare movie, Don John.
Really?
Which is the...
Don John.
It's the... who's that weasel guy I hate?
It could be anyone.
Could
dude.
Be. There's so many
Joseph
people.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Right.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt's passion project in which he plays a character called Don John, who is from... Uh-huh. New Jersey and speaks with a, or maybe Boston, speaks with a very strong, no, it's Jersey. Uh-huh. Speaks with a Jersey accent, is from a beautiful Italian family.
Right.
And he's addicted to pornography and can't stop jacking his dick off. But Scarlett Johansson and.
Passion Project.
Another. Yeah, he directed this movie.
He really wanted this movie made. Interesting.
Yeah. Scarlett Johansson is in love with him and wants to fuck his brains out. And also he cheats on her with 90s. Star, she's in Crazy Stupid Love. She was an indie darling in the early 90s and has sort of transitioned. Fuck, what's her name?
I don't know, dude.
Something Turner, maybe?
No.
Kathleen?
No. She was... she's in the movie... She's in Shortcuts, not Short Bus. Shortcuts, that 3-hour long weird movie, but her scene was famous because she gives this like real intense monologue with her pussy out. I feel like this is something you would know. That's the only reason I went down that path. Fuck, what is her name?
I wish we had this for
that
you, dude.
That would be great.
I can see it eating away at you. It looks like you're about to have a conniption.
No, I'll get that. Julianne Moore.
Oh, Julianne Moore.
Anyway, so...
That's what that article is suggesting is the most...
said Hannibal.
Yeah.
No, anyways, this article is like, oral sex only really becomes big in the 90s.
But Andy Warhol did the whole film about blowjob.
But it only becomes big. It's like a... So, again, this article
says... I guess I
really
paid attention for 15 minutes.
Please,
I saw another awesome quote in this. I gotta find it.
I gave you a chuckle.
How did the attitudes change and so quickly? As recently as the 1970s, this was certainly not something that gentlemen would expect. Today, the act is something more like bread before dinner. Noteworthy only if it's absent.
That's crazy.
This article is wild.
Both quotes for it, like, oh, okay. That's, like,
I really,
like,
took
I
that in my
hang on.
I really took that in my stride, the idea of the bread before dinner.
Yeah.
And if I didn't have it, I'd be like, what the hell?
Katrina Gulliver, you are the author of this book. Oh, book article.
Yeah.
Basically a book.
It's basically a book.
It's a 9-minute read, apparently.
Yeah. Wow. Well,
who's got the tie? Anyway. That's crazy. I thought
I thought maybe
the humble blowjob was a bit more in vogue earlier than
I think it was like, but then also, I don't know if they're just saying like the 90s is just like where you're like, yeah, like it's not a thing. Like you wouldn't be like, oh, like I ate pussy or I sucked a dick. Because like, well, yeah, if you've had sex, chances are.
You've been down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Great. It just seems shocking. I mean, I guess, yeah, it's just the social mores.
Even
thing.
In The Sopranos, it's shown as a negative thing because he doesn't want his wife to give him a blowjob because he kisses my kids.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
His wife kisses my kids with that mouth.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Little interesting blowjob diversion for the Baseless Speculation Boys.
Anyway, let's hear about Brian Taylor, the director of
Hellboy, The Crooked Man.
One of the movies I know he has directed is the critically acclaimed, I'm fairly sure, sequel to the Ghost Rider movie. Ghost Rider. I'm going to take a stab. Flames of Vengeance?
Spirit of Vengeance. You were close. Okay. I believe that the second one is better received than the first.
Hey, that's a good sign.
Okay, it has a 19% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Is the second one when you go, is that one that was filmed in Melbourne?
No, they were both filmed in Melbourne, I'm pretty sure.
Were.
Yeah, the only thing I've seen from the second Ghost Rider movie is somebody firing a machine gun into Ghost Rider's mouth. And that's pretty funny.
That's awesome, actually.
But I don't know what that says about the rest of the movie.
At the premiere, people expressed negative reactions to the film. Two attendees said that it was worse than the first Ghost Rider film, and one said that the sequel made the first film look like The Dark Knight by comparison. Wow.
Jesus Christ.
Is at the premiere, that's like when, say, Nick Cage and the director are
there. They could hear you.
So you can be like, excuse me, Nicholas, I am...
What the hell?
Guys, you fucked this one up.
Stinky movie, brother.
But... Yes.
Yeah, oh, okay. Redemption arc?
Not necessarily redemption arc, but I think that it's very campy and silly and very over the top.
Okay.
And everyone's having fun making it. So I think that audiences now that superhero movies stink across the board
it's a bit of fun.
This one's fun.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Spirit of Vengeance, that's a stressful one to have made. So he was the writer on Jonah Hex.
Okay.
But that had a very tricky development.
Yeah, okay, so, fair enough. Can be forgiven.
He just wrote it, he walked away.
He also worked on the Grant Morrison TV series Happy.
Okay. Is
that the one with the puppet?
Yeah.
And Maloney?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the reception of that show? Well, it's got two seasons.
Is Happy the one, it's like Patton Oswalt plays a little guy?
80%, no, you're thinking of Eternals. 80% is...
Well, he's not wrong.
80% of Rotten Tomatoes, that's decent. Rotten Tomatoes is fucked up when it comes to TV a lot of the time, though. They're like, people watch this, 100%. 65 on Metacritic, so not bad.
Not terrible. Okay. What else?
Anyway, he also worked on Gamer. The director, it's the one with the guy, Gerald Butler.
Yeah.
Okay.
Guy was in White Horse Down or something.
White Horse Down. The President's Horse is down, yeah.
Well, here's the plot of Gamer. In 2034, computer programmer Ken Garsel invents self-replicating nanites that replace brain tissue and allow humans to control other humans' actions and see through their eyes.
Okay.
He then creates Slayers, a third-person shooter where the characters are death row prisoners using real weapons in this specifically designated area.
Yeah,
okay.
Sounds great.
Why is it when there's like a movie based on like gaming?
Yeah.
No one's played a game.
Yeah, it's like, if the game was real and the game was you?
Yeah.
The tagline of Gamer is, who's playing you?
Yeah, it's like, wouldn't it be good if you, when you boot up your Xbox
yeah.
and now you're controlling a little avatar, what if that was a little an actual inmate that whom I do not care get shot in the head.
A prisoner whose life is cheap to you.
Yeah.
What if when you booted up Elden Ring and this guy got crushed by a big apple? Yeah. He was a real man on death row. Yeah.
Because video games are making society fucked up. So society in 10 years won't even care if a man gets killed by a big apple.
So I boot up my Elden Ring. I'm like, character creation. Yeah. I get to choose between many different inmates.
You don't get to make your own guy. No. You get to pick this guy who's got 6 weeks left before they give him the lethal injection.
Exactly. I'm like, I choose that guy. And I'm like, can you make yourself blonde, please?
Hey, I'm so sorry about what's about to happen to you. But gaming culture has done this to me.
Yeah.
And then it was by Radon or something, yeah.
Critically panned and a box office bomb.
What the frick?
Was that done with like TV's very own Dexter as well?
Yeah, he plays Ken Castle, the inventor guy. And Gerald Butler plays, what was his character name? It's fucked
inmate
up.
Number three.
Yeah.
Cable, with a K.
Okay, cool.
John Tillman.
Yeah.
Cable.
Great.
The highest ranked warrior in the game, Slayers.
Warrior.
Mm. Yeah.
Shut up.
And Cable's wife, Nika.
Is she a bone? I guess she a DLC.
Nah, she's in Society, the first game they made.
Is that also using real people?
Yeah. Society, which allows gamers to manipulate live actors as their avatars. Society becomes a worldwide sensation, making Castle the richest man in the world. He then creates Slayer as a third-person shooter where the characters are Death Row prisoners.
Wow. Stinky stuff, dude. Stinky stuff.
Cable's controlled by Simon. Who plays Simon?
He's holding up a mirror to gaming
and
culture.
And dude, Simon?
Yeah.
That's Logan Lerman, the 17-year-old gamer who's playing Cable.
No.
There's a character in this game.
Cable, can you now teabag that other inmate you just shot in their head? Also, can you call him a slur?
Yeah.
From me.
But you don't call you're not calling the other inmate a slur.
No.
You're calling the guy who was playing him a slur.
Yeah. Thank you.
This is gamer culture. Yeah. What, dude?
Every single character in this has the worst gamer names I've ever seen.
Is it like either numbers to replace letters, some in capitals, XX in front of something?
Yeah. Is it like less realistic than that and it's more like killer
or like
spawn death?
Is it like killer's death 41?
Yeah.
So there's one character whose name, and look, I'm actually going to do you a favor here, and I won't say the word because I'm pretty sure it's an immediate demonetization word. It's not the slur R word, but the S-A-R word. Okay. Rick that.
I like Sisypus.
Yeah, so the Sisypus, all caps, to catch a predator who's dating, it's the number two and catch with a K.
What?
There's the twins cum dumpsters.
Twins?
Okay, so you know how we're in a constant state of chaos and fighting for our lives every single day on this godforsaken earth? Between work and everything else falling apart around me, I have not had it together enough to meal prep or plan dinner, or honestly, function like a normal human being most week nights. Cooking something good is hard, and I deserve a modicum of joy every now and again. That's why I've turned to Omaha Steaks. My freezer is full. That's sorted. It is genuinely the one part of my life running smoothly. Real steaks, burgers, seafood, chicken, sides, all shipped to my door. So even on the nights where everything else is on fire, dinner isn't one more thing to stress about. I made the burgers the other night, didn't even have the energy to think, just pulled them out, threw them on the grill, and they tasted like something from an actual steakhouse. Somehow, the one corner of my life that's together is the one I didn't even have to think about. If you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the easiest way in. 20 premium steak burgers across 5 cuts. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's right, BEEF. B-E-E-F. omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
They're British twins.
I love that. Can't wait to sign on as my. Everyone knows me.
I'm my
twin. We're the cum dumpsters.
Famous twin gamers, the cum dumpsters.
Cum spelled with a K.
Oh, fuck no. The cum dumpsters are around. They've joined the lobby.
No, I don't want to be killed by the cum dumpsters.
And they're so good at shooting me.
Why? What?
Cum dumpsters. So cum is spelled K-U-M, all caps, and there's no space in this. So K-U-M, and then dumpsters is D-U-M-P, normal. Yeah. S-T-A-Z.
Cum dumpsters.
Cum.
The cum dumpsters.
And Keith David plays Agent Keith, which is funny to just have a guy with his real name. Anyway. Yeah,
that's amazing.
There's also Freak, spelled with two E's.
Yeah, 10 out of 10. Big fan.
Yeah,
well done.
Gamer sounds like the greatest movie I've ever
made. And there's a protest group trying to get slayers in society shut down, and they're called Humans with a Z.
Of course.
I thought it was going to be like Anonymous, like a play on that.
Yeah,
like,
Humans.
No.
Humans.
Humans.
Why do we? Why in the future do we think we're going to be using Z more? What's the thinking
And
there?
K, apparently.
And K. K and
Z. I guess
it's
like the futuristic letters.
Yeah, they kind of are. They kind of are. And K, like, is a gamer letter because of Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, and Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Why did we decide that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Z is all for, like, onomatopoeia, like buzz and zap.
Oh,
and
yeah, true.
So it's kind pizazz. Of like pizzazz. Almost maybe kind of like, oh, yeah, some sci-fi bullshit.
Yeah, I can kind of see it. Bullshit. K and Z, doesn't it?
Anyway, he also made both the Crank movies, so this movie's going to be crazy.
Oh, whoa. That is good.
Crank's fucked up.
I liked
up.
Crank.
Yeah, Crank's fun. I don't you think should... this movie will be like Crank.
No. Hey, a question with Hellboy.
Yeah.
Because you've read a lot of it.
Big Hellboy guy.
The imagery of Hellboy where he's got, like, you know, the horns and that. His eyes from memory, aren't they always, like, just yellow?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not in this. No. Yeah. I think it depends. I mean, there's a lot of different depictions of Hellboy, and it depends what artist is drawing for the issue as well. One thing that I think is a real shame is that Richard Corbin did the art for this Hellboy story, and Richard Corbin does the greasiest, nastiest art ever, and it rocks, and this movie has none of that oiliness.
Yeah.
And I think that's a real shame.
That's sad.
There's some elements in the trailer where I'm like, it looks spooky, right?
Yeah.
They're doing the whole Hellboy v. Witches,
Yeah, which is kind of what the story's about. And it's my favorite
Richard
Hellboy
Corbin
comic.
Richard Corbin did the art for Bat Out of Hell, the Meatloaf album.
Yeah.
He did that album cover.
Oily.
Yeah, it's oily. It's oily art.
That's
Richard
some
Corbin
oily
rocks.
Art. So, I don't know, just to me, like, okay, you got those tropes of horror which look really cool. You've got, like, I always like that, you know, the jump frame type thing where the crooked man, like, just cranks
snacks,
his neck.
Snap,
and it's
snack,
like,
yeah,
okay, that, like, can be spooky and those kind of things if a bit overdone, but I'm like, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, the bits is like, oh, yeah, they get the shovel and they're, like, etching or, like, they're burning a cross on.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, shit, you know, they're digging out and it's, like, a guy being buried. I like those bits, like, those, like, horror stuff. Mm. That looked cool. But then you have just a lady just floating, getting bitten by a
big snake.
And then it kind of cuts to, and I know it's just a trailer, so you don't know if it's the actual scene, but it cuts to Hellboy and lady, like, they're watching it.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to react or care.
No. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Sad that she got eaten by that floating snake,
so
the comic
is about, it's during a period of time in Hellboy comics where Hellboy's just wandering, which is great. I love it. He's just walking around the world looking at stuff, which is what Mike Mignola says all good Hellboy comics should be, and that's how he prefers to write it, so I think that's awesome. And he ends up in the Appalachian Mountains, and he meets this guy named Silver John, possibly, and Silver John's like, there's witches. and this witch from his childhood comes back, and then they're like, well, we gotta stop her or whatever. And then it's just like it's a very basic story. It's like Hellboy, this guy Silver John, and another girl that's been corrupted by the witches have to go up into the mountain to fight the crooked man who is the devil that the witches are making deals with.
Yeah.
And if you look up the way the crooked man looks in the comic, it's awesome. It's disgusting. And I don't think the Crooked Man's going to look like that in the movie.
Does he have like a top hat type thing?
Yeah, but bro, he's nasty
looking. Dude, he's crooked as fucking shit.
It's awful.
Oh, he's looking gross.
Yeah, dude, I love the Crooked Man.
He looks like
he's like
the Devil's Rejects or whatever it is. What's his Rob Zombie film that he did?
Oh, no.
The guy who's that clown, maybe?
Yeah. And he also kind of looks like the Babadook a bit.
Yeah.
He's like if the Penguin was the Babadook.
Yeah.
But also if he, or if, okay.
Yeah, mixed with, is Spalding? That's the guy's name?
Imagine if you hit the Penguin in the face with a baseball bat.
Done.
But like here, up that way.
Like and it, in the like the lower jaw, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it like fucked his face up, but he survived. Yeah. And his mouth was now just like.
Dislocated.
Yeah.
Completely dislocated. Absolutely. And he loved it.
And it's, yeah, he rocks. I love the design. But I suspect in this movie it's not going to be so disgusting. I think the one thing, like, it looks like it could be fine, this movie. I don't really have high hopes, but it looks like it could be fine. But I think what's disappointing is that it's such a rich story to draw from, and it seems like very few artistic liberties have been taken kind of anywhere, which is a bummer, because it's an awesome comic. Now, here's the thing, here's a question for you, and this is spoilers for the comic.
Okay.
So in the comic, Silver John, he's been out rambling too, and when he comes back to town, they say, Silver John, your dad died.
Yeah.
And he's very sad about that. And then later on, the main witch arrives on a horse, and it's discovered that the horse is his dad, wearing a magic bridle.
That's awesome.
And then when he left, the witch put the bridle on and has been riding his dad for the, you know, until he's returned. And then at the end of the comic, this is spoilers, the way they defeat the witch is they put the bridle on her and turn her into a horse.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then they paint on her side, beware, I am a witch, which rocks. Do we think the movie's going to end with them making the witch a horse?
No. They'll kill her with a gun. Yeah, he'll shoot the witch with the right hand of doom or whatever. Yeah. No, wait. That's his big hand.
That's his big hand. He'll smash him with the right hand of doom. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What if they turn, go through the heart or something.
Yeah. Was there a horse in the trailer?
No, no horse that I could see, which
that
I think is disappointing.
So sad.
It's such an awesome final image in the comic that I just don't think that we're going to get, which is a bummer. What it really feels like is Hellboy's sort of like status as an IP has dipped so low that like an indie studio can grab it. And they're trying to make something nice, but also clearly it's like, well.
What was the last thing that Hellboy did before? Like, because. There's a game that came out.
Yeah, that came out this year, I think.
I played a little bit of it. This didn't grab me. No.
Yeah. It had a lot of problems, but I quite liked it. But it had a lot of problems.
The last comic in the Hellboy run was Hellboy versus Lobster Johnson, The Ring of Death, and that was published May 29, 2019.
Hmm. I mean, it's like other media, because wasn't there? There's been some animated films or animated.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think anything
pre
like 2019.
Oh wait, sorry, I fucked up. Yeah, Hellboy and the
BRPD.
BRPD is an ongoing miniseries, and that.
There would have been, I think there was one this year, at the very least one.
2024? No.
Huh.
2023, yes, there was two.
Because it seems like it's such a...
1957.
Like, it's such a good comic book. People really enjoy it. It does have a, you know, a relatively large following. I mean, most people probably know Spider-Man over Hellboy.
Yeah, I don't think he's quite as well known as...
But at the same time, it's like, you know, it's... No, would respected be used?
I kind of know what you... Well, it's the kind of thing where, like, I think Hellboy, even if you've not read the Hellboy comics, most people know what Hellboy looks like at the very least. Even if you don't have all the deep Hellboy lore.
I don't know, though, because I'm like, it did get two decent movies and a stinker 11 years later.
Yeah,
and
that's
then,
true.
I don't know.
It's weird how quickly they made the movies, though. Like, I mean, I thought Hellboy had run a lot longer than it actually has. Like, issue one was... 1994. So that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But then, like, it's like issue 1 to 4 is in the 1994.
Mm-hmm.
Then issue 5 is like end of 1995. Then issue 6 is 1996. The run is so slow.
Yes, yeah. It's incredibly slow. And also, it goes in a bunch of crazy places, and you have stuff like Hellboy and the BPRD, which is running alongside the main Hellboy story.
Yeah.
Plus, it's a universe that has finished. Mm. Like, the Hellboy story, we've had the beginning of the world and the end of the world in the story. It's, like, done, which I think is very kind of weird for, a comic book universe.
Does that mean it end with the Fury?
No. It ends with Hellboy in Hell.
Oh, that makes sense. A separate thing.
There's stuff after. There's like Frankenstein something, which is about Frankenstein in the future, which is awesome.
Is it just Joe Gollum or something? Is that the... Who's the Gollum?
Joe Gollum is a different Mike Mignola universe.
Okay.
Which is called the Outerverse, which also includes... Great comic if you haven't read it. One of my favorites. Baltimore. Mm. Incredible comic set in the same universe as Joe Gollum. Okay. And he's starting a new universe called... Something like Dead Men Can't Go Bowling or something.
Hell yeah.
Where he was like, I didn't think I would be starting any new massive comic book arcs, but here we are. But there's a bunch of like extra stuff with the Hellboy universe. You've got the Witchfinder series. Mm-hmm. You got Lobster Johnson. Mm-hmm. You've got the Miss Marple allegory, whose name I can't remember. Mm. You get so much stuff to draw from. But I guess it never maybe doesn't quite have the same... A recognizability as like your other Marvel and DC comics.
You tell me people don't recognize the Conqueror Worm series?
Great comic, Conqueror Worm. I think that's the one where they find a Nazi spaceship, maybe? It's in a castle, at the very least. It might be the guy who's just ahead.
Yeah, they...
Crete? No, that's the guy who makes gorillas, yeah.
Herman von Klempt.
Yeah,
Herman von Klempt. One of his cybernetic war apes.
Yeah. Those guys rock. That's when you see that. You see it sometimes online. The look out, the monkey's got a gun or whatever.
Hell
awesome
yeah.
stuff, dude. Awesome stuff.
Man, I got to read Conqueror Worm. Is that a good place to start?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, absolutely.
Do we have Hellboy stuff here?
Yeah. We get the first. Hellboy rocks. It's my favorite volume. Comic of all time. Yeah.
First volume?
I love it. I love it so much.
I'll read it.
I think as well, I think what's cool about Hellboy is that it is like a very full comic series, but it's also not like a superhero comic at all, which I think is like a kind of cool opportunity to do that comic book movie that's not, it's not cape shit, as they say.
Like looking at the trailer, which again did not really fill me with hope.
No, me neither.
But there were those moments where I'm like, oh, cool, could be horror, could be more horror theme. That's kind of sick. Hellboy is ostensibly
a horror comic.
Which I'm like, all right, cool. Mm. Let's go down that path. But I don't know. It looked very cheap.
I think that's the real shame, is that the Mike Mignola ones had a real clear style.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even the way Hellboy was designed. Hellboy had those cool kind of walls cut into his skin. Yeah. He had, like, those sort of circles. He had, like, a real, like, obvious choices in the design. And I can tell, obviously, this one doesn't have the budget maybe for that kind of prosthetic. But, like, those designs on Hellboy's body aren't in the comics. That's just something they made for the movie. Mm. And I think you can really see that it's like, oh, like, they kind of put a bit of effort into it. They were trying to do something visually interesting to match Mike Mignola's art or whatever.
Yeah.
And this movie, without that, I think it's just going to feel like a sort of low-budget horror movie. That's my vibe, anyway.
Yeah, I got really confused because I was looking at Hellboy comics on Amazon just then, and the book description for Volume 3, the Omnibus Volume 3, The Wild Hunt, is the basis for the upcoming feature film Hellboy, The Rise of the Blood Queen.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? But... Then I looked, and this listing was from 2018. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing The Wild Hunt is in Hellboy, the 2019 movie?
Yeah, it's very weird. So, and I thought this was weird when the 2019 movie was coming out. So The Wild Hunt is like the end of Hellboy. It's like the culmination before his big fight in hell.
Yeah.
It's like all of the shit that has been in Hellboy's life up to this point, all the little clues, finally get here where Hellboy, spoilers, discovers he's King Arthur.
Hell yeah.
And has to fight Hecate, the goddess of witches, and it's like a huge it's awesome. It's a great comic.
Cool.
He kills a bunch of giants. It's sick.
Oh, I thought it was Hecate.
It might be. I don't know. I just say Hecate, but it probably is Hecate. Yeah, but anyway, nice. It's like a real, it's like the end of the Hellboy comics. So I thought it was crazy for them to be making that as their first Hellboy movie.
Huh. Yeah.
Because the trailers for that one had him with the full on horns and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm assuming that is like a big point.
Because in the end of that one, spoilers, he kills Hecate, but Hecate kills him, and then he goes to hell, where the story all ends. So I just thought it was a really weird, and Hecate's like a kind of reoccurring villain up to that point that's like, Hellboy, you're gonna, there's a lot of witches, gods that hate Hellboy, but I'm pretty sure it's Hecate. It's like, Hellboy, you're destined to destroy the world, and he's like, shut up.
Leave me alone.
That's, I think, something as well that's missing from a
Hellboy lot of... Hellboy omnibuses are really cheap, which is scary.
They're so good,
They're
dude.
$30 each.
They're so good.
Ugh! What have you done to me? I watch a trailer and I say this movie looks like it's going to stink.
Yeah.
And then you talk about Hellboy and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, for $130, I could own all of it.
That's my favorite thing about Hellboy that I think a lot of the movies, other than the Ron Perlman ones, don't have as well, which is like a classic Hellboy encounter is the god of witches is like, Hellboy, you're destined for great things. And he's like, shut up, lady, and then punches her. And that's like every interaction. I think there's that great panel that also gets shared around sometimes where he says, shut up, I've been drinking with skeletons.
Yeah.
Great stuff, man. Oh, Hellboy's so good.
Who is in this film, by the way? Like, who is actually playing Hellboy?
It's someone who's relatively unknown. I think I remember looking them up when this was first announced and being like,
Hellboy is played by... The one tab I closed was the Hellboy one. I was too busy looking at... Okay, Hellboy, Crooked Man...
Yeah.
He is played by Jack Kesey.
Oh, yeah. Him, they've been in...
Deadpool 2? Whoa, connection to that guy from the start.
Ed Kein.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Who's he in Deadpool 2?
Black Tom Cassidy.
The Juggernaut's boyfriend was in Deadpool 2? What?
He plays crazy. Tate the Fish Carp in the Death Wish remake.
Yeah.
Which everyone hated.
Yeah.
His most recent role was a salesman in the movie The Killer.
Yeah.
I'm still reeling from Black Tom Cassidy was in Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
What
did he do in the movie?
I don't remember that film.
Me neither, dude.
He try and save the Juggernaut?
I mean, inmate of the facility where Deadpool and Fire Fist are imprisoned.
Yeah.
It was originally written as a more prominent antagonist, acting on the devil on Fire Fist show. Who the fuck is Fire Fist?
Isn't that the little kid Hunt for the Wilder People guy?
Is he Fire Fist?
Is he Fire Fist?
Isn't he?
I don't know.
Dude, I don't know.
Who
I don't
can remember this movie? Not I.
Yes, that is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's not there yet, but he's going to be the big villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
He
talks to plants.
Cool.
Yeah.
I do think that with this movie, I think they've made a clever decision in not trying to do, I mean, they probably will, but in picking a Hellboy story, because there are so many standalone Hellboy stories where it's just like Hellboy's in this place for whatever reason, sometimes as part of the BPRD, sometimes just because he's traveling, and then he encounters a monster and a problem, and then he deals with it in a Hellboy way.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great place to set a movie where it's not connected to anything else. You don't have to worry about any of those like wider lore implications or any other characters. You can just have Hellboy as this kind of fun traveling protagonist, kind of to just jump in, encounter something, solve it, get out of there. So I like that as a decision. I think that's smart. But with that, do we think they're going to try to set this up, tease on any of those other little bits of Hellboy lore?
So here's something about the casting that may answer your question you just posed, but also I have a lot of questions. And I know that asking these questions means that I'm probably less and less likely to read The Crooked Man, as you'll have to explain more and more of the plot.
Yeah.
So there's an actor that is playing the founder and head of the BPRD, who is also Hellboy's adoptive father.
Yeah, Professor Bruttenholm or whatever?
Yeah. Broom.
Trevor Broom.
Bruttenholm.
Bruttenholm, yeah. Okay.
That actor is also portraying the Crooked Man. Do you think they're going to do anything crazy there?
What the fuck?
It doesn't necessarily... Just because the actor is playing the same... just because one actor is playing two characters doesn't mean those two characters
Maybe
are related.
It's a financial decision.
Yeah. They're really big fans of the Rocky Horror stage play. Furiosa did it.
Yeah.
It confused a lot of people in Furiosa.
Did it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're probably not thinking of the character you're thinking of. The lady at the start of the movie.
Yeah, I was thinking of Lockie Hume.
No.
Because I was like, he plays Morton Joe and he plays the other guy. Yeah. What do you mean? How is that confusing? Morton Joe got a mask on. What?
No, the sniper at the start of the film is also a character later.
Her name's Mr. Something. The character with when she's one of she's Mr. Some motorcycle brand, because that's what all of Dementis's cronies are called.
But yeah, she's one of the people that you have to kill the people to get on the bike to pull the person apart. Yeah, and people have been like, I guess, whilst wandering in the desert trying to find Furiosa, they like lost their. But I can imagine George Miller being like, if that's one way, if you want to look at it,
that's what you reckon, dude. I'm not going to tell you no.
Isn't that Hemsworth's real life wife?
Yeah.
I So what happens to Professor Bruntenholm in the comics, right?
Yeah.
He adopts Hellboy.
This is what I thought was going to happen. Yeah. I'm going to hear all about these comics that I'm no longer going to read.
No, he's not in The Crooked Man.
Oh!
Because there's a period of time in Hellboy's life, in the comic sort of arc, where he basically becomes sort of... Actually, I don't even know if this takes... There's multiple times where he becomes disillusioned with what he's doing, and he just rambles. He walks around the country. Okay. He goes to Mexico. He goes to... Well, anyway. So Bruntenholm's not in this comic. Bruntenholm, I think, might even be dead by this point. He gets eaten by frogmen.
Is it maybe?
The frogmen then take over the world, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, right. That is, you don't want that.
Yeah, truly.
Could it be something like if his dad is dead or whatever, and the Crooked Man is like, oh, he's there to like haunt whatever. He just takes on the visage of his old father
figure.
That's
probably what they're going
to kind
do.
Of fuck with Hellboy a little bit more if you want to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or they're going to be like, and then when he died, he was the Crooked Man all along.
The whole time he was the Crooked Man.
You're right to be disillusioned with the BPRD because
it was found
by a crooked man. It says a lot about society. We're here,
but it's so weird as well because like it's not at no point like Hellboy's from memory. He's just sad his dad died. He doesn't feel any guilt or like and his dad. It's not like his dad was like. I mean, he was kind of a complicated man, but it's not like it's just a very weird decision to make in the casting. Mm. Who else is... Give me the list of characters.
Characters?
Yeah.
Hellboy.
Okay.
Tom Farrell.
That's not Silver John. Silver John's the guy Tom Farrell's based on. Yeah.
Bobby Joe Song.
Okay. Yeah.
Reverend Nathaniel Armstrong Watts.
Uh-huh.
Effie Kolb.
Okay.
Cora Fisher.
Yeah.
Brought home.
The
titular villainous Crooked Man.
Okay. So other than Bruntenholm, there's no other weird casting in there.
Speaking of casting, any like named actors?
Jefferson White, who doesn't have a picture, but he's in Yellowstone.
Okay.
And Chicago PD.
Everyone loves that.
Yeah.
Adeline Rudolph, she's in Riverdale and the Netflix adaptation of Resident Evil.
And Sabrina.
And the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
See?
She is going to play Katana in the Mortal Kombat sequel, which is a movie I forgot is coming out. Oh,
yeah. Who's she playing in this?
Bobby Joe Song.
Okay. So she's the new witch from memory. Okay. And Effie Cole is the old witch.
She's going to play Tomy in...
The Tomy movie?
Television series.
Hell yeah.
But that's in development hell, so no, she's not.
Do we think that...
Joseph Marcel is another? He's in the... Huh? He's the butler in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
He's playing Reverend Nathaniel Armstrong Watts.
Okay. He's a... Yeah, because there's a bit where... Is he a young guy or an old guy?
They'll have to
youngify him.
I don't
There's
think
a bit where he goes young.
Oh.
Because the Crooked Man's like...
Hey, Jack. No, they're not.
Yeah. Fair enough. Hey, let me do you a service that in some point in the future you will do to me.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. I will not tell you why he goes young.
No, I'm saying in this particular adaptation,
he ain't going young,
my dude.
And Leah McNamara is the only other actor attached to the project that I can see, and she's from Normal People.
Okay.
So a lot of really big
Normal People's big.
Yeah.
She's also in Vikings. So this is a lot of bit characters from things. Yeah.
Do you think this movie's going to be kind of sexy?
No.
Richard Corbin kind of sort of draws disgusting sexy. And there's a lot of like witch seduction in the
Taylor confirmed that the film would be R-rated in order to embrace the dark and scary and violent and adult elements of the comic.
Maybe it will. That would be exciting. There's a lot of bare tits, I think, in the comic.
Bare tits!
Did you say bare tits or bad tits?
Bare tits.
And bare is in B.
Exposed.
Oh, okay, not B.
Nipple elements.
Okay, I thought you were thinking
nipples
like...
Nipples are
I'm sorry,
out.
My okay. friend.
I thought you were thinking spooky bears
with
their nogs out, and I got confused.
I wish.
All right, no bare titties.
No, tragically not.
All right.
The screenplay is written by a guy called Christopher Golden.
Okay.
He's an American author of horror, fantasy, and suspense novels for adults and teens.
Do you think
he worked on the script for the 2019 Hellboy movie?
I think I just answered my question. Do you think, given all like that it's all like people from like horror films and horror kind of narratives, that like if you take away the Hellboy aspect of it, like it'll at least be a spooky film?
Yes, I think so. I think it'll still be kind of spooky. Mm. I think if they lean into the like kind of weird Appalachian folktale that the story, the comic feels like when you read it, I think it could be a halfway decent horror movie. Okay. I think it's just going to be a question of kind of like if you watch it and you're like, oh, that was just like a kind of like any low budget horror movie and Hellboy was there.
Yeah.
Or if you watch it and you're like, oh, they managed to adapt something special into something worth watching.
Have you read the Baltimore series?
Yes.
Do you like it?
I love it. It's incredible.
So Christopher Golden is the co-writer on that.
Oh, that's a good sign.
But he's also co-wrote the
2019 one. Complicated. Baltimore's awesome. Who's the other? You know, it's vampires with a harpoon. It's very cool.
Mike Mignola is the other screenply writer. So that's...
He's a good sign. But
is he though? Yeah. Or is he just like, hey, we'll give you a writing credit.
Oh, yeah, you're getting your writing credit because we're adapting your comic. Yeah. Did Christopher Golden work on
The Crooked
Man?
He very much could have.
Let's find out.
Well,
wouldn't shock
No!
Oh, okay.
So I guess he is just a proper writing credit.
It's kind of a good sign.
Okay. Well, all right. Any swings for the fences?
Now, this is a classic, but it's a classic for a reason. Yeah. My swing for the fence is that this will be good.
Nice. My swing for the fence is that this will be a standalone film.
Yeah.
And they're like, yep, we ain't getting a sequel and we're going to tease a sequel. We're just going to, like, this is Hellboy.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing. Standalone. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. If we end up getting, you know, greenlit for another one, good.
But
we're
is
not
standalone.
Hinting towards it. Yep. Do not worry.
Yep. I think, standalone. And then the next one we get is, like, this is standalone. It does not connect on either end to any other grander Hellboy story.
Yeah.
And if it gets a sequel, and this is a huge swing for the fence,
they'll just do another
They'll do Hellboy the Corpse, which is another great Hellboy comic.
So they'll adapt short stories.
They'll
rather
just adapt
than the
short stories where Hellboy's just roaming the world.
Rather than any of the main stories. Yeah. Okay.
That's my swing for the fence. And it's such a swing for the fence because there's no way in hell. If they get a second movie, that second movie is like every first movie in a cinematic universe these days. Ugh. Where it's like Hellboy, Abe Sapien, Liz Sherman, Johann Krauss is there, Damo's there. The guy, the homunculus, Roger the homunculus is there.
Love that guy.
Yeah.
Okay, Hellboy and the Crooked Man were created and shot practically with no CGI enhancements.
Oh, that's cool.
So they'll be freaky looking.
That's exciting. Hey, I'm going to watch it. Yeah. I'm more interested in this movie than the 2019 one.
Why didn't you watch the 2019 one?
I think the 2019 one looked
bad.
It looked so obviously bad.
Mm.
And it looked bad in a way that annoyed me. Like, it kind of looked like they were trying to...
Have you seen the other two?
Yeah. I really liked them. Mm. I think about that shot in the second one where the elf prince is doing sick martial arts with his elf spear and in like a cave, and then he lands, and then a subway train goes by behind him.
Yeah.
I think that's fucking cinema, that's awesome. Dude. That's sick as hell.
Yeah.
But I never watched the 2019 one. I think it was just like, this is too weird. Mm. And I heard so much about the behind-the-scenes stuff that I was like, I think I'll just be upset if I watch it, you know?
Well, you should try and play the PlayStation game Hellboy Asylum Seeker, which has 11.5% on game ratings, and the official PlayStation magazine gave it a 0.5 out of 5.
Whoa. That's grim, dude.
Hellboy has a long history of
being shit on.
Yeah.
Dog shit.
They really struggle to adapt it, which I think is sort of crazy because, and I mean, I guess everybody thinks this about media they like. It just seems so easy to do.
Hellboy should be an easy video game to make, but they've given it 3 cracks. The first one was so terribly received that I don't think I've ever seen reviews that bad before. Then they made a PS3 and Xbox 360 game, which got 40s on Metacritic.
Yeah. And then Web of Weird, I think, didn't. I liked it fine, but I don't think it did terribly well as well.
Yeah.
Bit odd one, though.
Yeah. Well, people struggle. People struggle.
Anyway, sometimes you like a thing, and then they just make heaps of dog shit about
it. Hey, I don't care.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I see a movie, I'm like, well, this is going to be bad. But
at least you have the comics who are like, they're all good.
It doesn't affect the thing I like.
Yeah.
It's disappointing because I'd like to see a good version of that, but like, I don't... I'll just go about my day.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, I've been Joe.
I've been Jackson.
And I've also been Joe. See you with the movies.
Yeah.
And this has been another episode of Basic Speculation of We've been the BS Boys. I'll say it again. See you at the movies.